الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. One of my kiram, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers. Alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we had experienced a great month, and that is the month of Ramadan, wherein we heard many, many bayans with regards to the objectives, the purpose, and the reason for the month of Ramadan, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained and stipulated fasting upon the believers. And we had heard about the last 10 days of Ramadan, its virtue, its blessings. And alhamdulillah, many of us spent the month of Ramadan trying to make an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our fasting in the month of Ramadan. And most importantly, He grants us the ability to maintain that taqwa which we were trying to develop in the month of Ramadan. We find that when the month of Ramadan elapses and passes, then for many of us, it is now a license to commit sins. Whereas we find that in the month of Ramadan, the masajid were full, and people had become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we always hear from Hazrat Maulana, that beautiful example which I have heard almost every year Maulana gives when the month of Ramadan comes close, and even during the month of Ramadan, wherein he says that a person, even with the weakest iman, if he is told that 3 minutes before the time of iftar, that now the purpose and objective of fasting was to experience some hunger and was to have sympathy for those who are poor and needy. So now you have fasted for most of the day. There are just 3 minutes left for the sun to set. I mean, you have experienced the hunger and you have felt sympathy for the poor. So why don't you break your fast now before the sun sets? So the person with the weakest iman, he will say, no, never. I will only break my fast after the sun has set. And if you ask him why, he will say, it is because it is the command of Allah. That is why I will break my fast only when the sun has set. So a person becomes very strong at that time. And he says that it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why he does it. If only we can adopt the same theme and we can adopt the same attitude with regards to every single aspect of our lives, that it is that same Allah, the command of that same Allah that we fast in the month of Ramadan, it is the command of that same Allah that we perform 5 times salah, whether it is in Ramadan or whether it is out of the month of Ramadan. It is the command of that same Allah that we stay away from interest. It is the command of that same Allah that we fulfill the rights of our parents, the rights of our children, the rights of our wives, the rights of our neighbors, the rights of every single person in our society, in our neighborhood, and in our community. So we find that now we are presently in the month of Shawwal. And Hazrat Maulana instructed me that we discuss a few aspects with regards to Hajj. Obviously, it is not possible for us to discuss the masail of Hajj. They are very, very intricate and they require a lot of explanation, and you require classes to understand the intricate masail and details of Hajj. But just to give us a brief outline with regards to Hajj, the importance of Hajj, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated Hajj upon us. Then one beautiful point which the ulama-i-kiram mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the months of Hajj, Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, immediately after the month of Ramadan. And the purpose and objective and the wisdom why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the month of Hajj immediately after the month of Ramadan, ulama-i-kiram explained, is that in the month of Ramadan, we were given a great opportunity to spiritually uplift ourselves, to develop this quality of taqwa, to develop the quality of Allah consciousness. And as we have heard time and again, Hazrat Maulana gives that beautiful example of our spiritual car, that we have a car that is dented. So what we do, we take that car and we give it, hand it over to the panel beater, and he keeps it by him, and he then repairs this car, and after a set period of time, this car turns out and comes out of that workshop in showroom condition. So in the same way that we all have dents on our spiritual heart, and Hazrat Maulana beautifully mentioned on the day of Eid, that we have the dent of greed on our hearts, the dent of pride, the dent of malice, the dent of jealousy, the dent of evil desires and passions, the dent of going to cinemas, theaters, rave clubs, the dent of going onto the internet on porn sites. So all these dents have completely covered our heart and overwhelmed our heart, thereby depriving us of experiencing the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and experiencing that enjoyment in our ibadat, and taking away the reason and objective for why we have been sent into this world. So this month of Ramadan, we had made a lot of tawbah, and we had strived to control this carnal self of ours. We find that in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made those things impermissible for us, which were normally permissible. Eating, drinking, and having relations with one's wife is normally something which is permissible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, He then said that this is haram from dawn to sunset. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an opportunity that, oh my banda, if you had developed the opportunity, if you had developed the capability rather, of abstaining from those things which are normally halal, so now it will become very, very easy for you to abstain from those things which are haram. And as Hazrat Maulana always says, that in haram, there is harm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not depriving us of something which is evil. All those things which Shariat has made haram upon us, then we find there is nothing but harm. There is destruction for each and every single person. Whether it is wine, whether it is woman, whether it is drugs, whether it is interest, whether it's cinemas and theaters or music, then we find that that is harmful for the person, for himself, for his family, and for the society at large. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of mercy, He is telling us, oh my servant, this is harmful for you, therefore do not go near it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this month of Ramadan to train us to develop the ability to abstain from things which are normally halal. So now after the month of Ramadan passes, it must become extremely easy for us to stay away from those things which are haram. But unfortunately our condition is like that, which Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi mentions very beautifully. It may be an example which is not very nice, but it is to create that realization of where we are standing. That he says that there was a worm, and the condition of this worm is that it spent its entire life in feces and stool. And one day this worm emerged from that filth, and a breeze of fresh, clean air passed through the nostrils of that worm. So when that worm inhaled that fresh air, because it had spent its entire life in that filth, it said to himself, "This, I can't take this fresh air," and it died back inside that stool. So he says, this is our condition, that when we experience that fresh breeze of ibadat, that fresh breeze of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fresh breeze of tilawat and dhikr, that because we are so used to sins, we are so used to the filth of sins, that when we experience this fresh breeze of Ramadan, then we say we can't wait till the month of Ramadan passes. And once the month of Ramadan passes, then we go back into that same filth. So respected elders and brothers, ulama-i-kiram explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the month of Ramadan before the month of Hajj. So that a person now, he comes out of the month of Ramadan with a spiritually sound heart. Now he is ready to present himself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform the various rituals in Hajj. So this was an ideal opportunity why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the months of Hajj immediately after the month of Ramadan. In any event, in the ayatul kareema which was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-hajj ashhurun ma'lumat faman farada feehinna al-hajj fala rafatha wala fusooq wala jidala fil hajj The gist of this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the months of Hajj are known to you. That is the month of Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So whoever intends to go for Hajj, then فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. There should be no indecency in this Hajj, and neither should there be any transgression, and there should be no fighting and arguing during this period of Hajj. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرِ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ. That whatever good you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of it. Ulama ikram explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of every single action we do, whether it is good or bad. But why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions whatever good you do, Allah ta'ala is aware of it? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you abundantly for whatever good you do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish a person for the evil that he does. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayat al-kareema, which is relevant to each and every one of us, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Some mufassirin mentioned, and they translated in this manner, that take provisions, for indeed the best provision is the provision of taqwa. In other words, a person must now try and develop in his life, in this world, he should try and inculcate within himself taqwa. And this is relevant to each and every one of us, whether he is going for Hajj or not going for Hajj. We know that this Hajj is a very great and important pillar of Islam. And it is compulsory on each and every individual, provided he has sufficient to perform this duty of Hajj. And this pillar of Hajj should never be undermined, respected elders and brothers, because each and every pillar of Islam is so important. Ulama ikram explained that the five pillars of Islam are like the example of a tent, where you have a center structure, a center pillar which is supporting the tent. And you have four pillars on the side. The center pillar is the most important pillar. If this pillar is removed, the entire tent will collapse. And if any one of the four pillars is removed, the tent will become very, very weak. If one strong wind blows, the entire tent may collapse. So Iman is our center pillar, the center pillar of Islam. If Iman is removed, there is no Islam left. And the other pillars, the pillar of Salah, the pillar of fasting, the pillar of Zakat and Hajj, these are important pillars. If any one of them are missing from our lives, then, respected elders and brothers, our Islam in our lives is very, very weak. We are very, very vulnerable to the temptations, and we're very, very vulnerable to nafs and shaitan. There is a great possibility that, for example, if a person does not have five times Salah in his life, there is that great possibility that this person could die and this person could lose his Iman. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. And may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us the ability to ensure that we maintain all these five pillars in our lives. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has instructed us in this ayat, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. They take provisions, for indeed the best provision is the provision of taqwa. وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. O intelligent ones, adopt taqwa. And again, we're coming back to the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, what was the purpose of fasting? The purpose of fasting was, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In fact, Mufassirin mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions taqwa in its different forms in the Quran Sharif over approximately 155 times. Al-taqwa is mentioned in this Quran Sharif. So in other words, we have been sent into this world to develop Allah consciousness, to work for our akhirat. And that is the purpose why we have been created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. O man and jinn, you have not been created except for my ibadat, for my worship. So we have not been sent into this world to increase our assets, to increase our stocks, to increase our properties, and to attain name and fame. But rather the objective of every single person is that he earns his akhirat. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Ta'ala is that being who created death and he created life so that he may test you, that who amongst you does the best of actions. Hazrat Maulana beautifully mentioned that in this ayat Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ. Allah Ta'ala is that being who created death and life. Now we all know that a person first he lives, then he dies. So death comes after life. But in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he created death and life. So Allah ta'ala mentions death first and then life. So he says that the reason for this, ulama ikram have explained, is that that person who keeps his death before him, then his life will come right. Because if a person knows that I have to die one day and I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will ensure that every single action of his is all in accordance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. An intelligent person is that person, he controls his evil desires, and he does actions for the year after. That is an intelligent person. Wal-ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna ala Allah. And a weak person is that person who follows his evil desires and then he hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, we have to become of the intelligent ones and adopt taqwa. وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. We have to become of the intelligent ones and we have to learn to control our evil desires. If we will learn to control our evil desires, then we will find that our lives will come in order. And an easy way of controlling this evil desires is to keep death before us. Because as Hazrat Maulana always says, that when a person wants to commit sin, ask yourself the question, what if? What if in the midst of the sin, the Malakul Maut, the angel of death, extracts my soul? And then I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because every person will raise up in the condition that he died. If a person was performing salah, and he passed away in the position of sajda, how fortunate he is, in the day of qiyamah he will raise in that condition. If a person passes away in the battlefield, fighting for the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how fortunate he will be raised up in the condition that he will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the contrary, that person who passes away in a cinema, in a theater, or stuck on porn sites, or that person who passes away displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what a sad condition it will be for him, and what humiliation and disgrace will be for that person, that he will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and before the entire creation. We all worry about our honor and our respect, and we do not like to be humiliated. People sue for defamation of character. What about on the day of Qiyamah when we will have to stand before the entire creation, and there a person will be humiliated for his sins. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. That is why Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in that dua, famous dua, he says, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. O Allah, do not disgrace me on the day when we will be raised before you. On that day when neither wealth, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ, neither wealth nor our children will benefit us in any way. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us on the day of Qiyamah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hisab kitab easy on that day. So the purpose of fasting was to adopt taqwa, and this taqwa should feature in our lives in every single department, respected elders and brothers. Conscious awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One famous incident is mentioned with regards to preparation for the year after. We all heard of Bahlul. And Bahlul was in the time of Harun al-Rashid. He was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he adopted the appearance of a person who was foolish. And he would make himself like a person who knew very little. Harun al-Rashid used to keep him in his court because he was a source of amusement for them. So one day Harun al-Rashid called him and he gave him a walking stick. And he said, Bahlul, this walking stick is intended for the most foolish person in the world. And if you find any person more foolish than yourself, you can then pass it on to him. Bahlul kept the walking stick. And after years passed, Harun al-Rashid became very, very ill. He became very sick. So Bahlul went to visit him. He asked him, what is wrong? Harun al-Rashid said, no treatment is helping. I see my final abode ahead of me. So Bahlul asked him, where are you going? So he said, I'm going to the other world. So he said, how long will you be there and when will you be coming back? So he said, Bahlul, nobody ever comes back from that world. So he said, Harun al-Rashid, what preparations have you made? And have you sent an advance party to make preparation when you arrive in that final abode of yours? So he says, oh, Bahlul, you have to go alone to that abode. And no, I have not made any preparations for that abode. So Bahlul says, oh, Harun al-Rashid, you are that person that when you undertake a journey of 3 days, you send an advance party before your ahead of you, and you send troops to prepare when you arrive, upon your arrival. And here you are going forever, and you have not made any preparations. So Harun al-Rashid, I think now I have found the person more foolish than myself. Here, this walking stick is for you. So this is a lesson for each and every one of us. We may not be undertaking such journeys where we send troops ahead of us, but each and every one of us, when we plan for a journey, if we are going from here to Johannesburg or to Cape Town or overseas, we make adequate preparations for that journey. Yet that journey is a very temporary journey. What about the journey where each and every one of us will have to go alone And each and every one of us will have to account for our actions individually. What preparations have we made for that life? Yes, we have secured ourselves in this world, and we have secured our children and grandchildren in this world. But this is a temporary abode, respected elders and brothers. People are living in this world for 20 years, 15 years, 30 years, and very few people are reaching 40 and 50 years. But yes, in the life thereafter, we will live forever and ever and ever. It is only intelligent that we prepare for that life, and we invest for that life. That is the true investment, respected elders and brothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all those who are going for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a Hajj maqbool, Hajj mabroor. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties of the Muslims throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Hazrat Maulana good health. And all those people who are sick, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them good health. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat in the month of Ramadan. And most importantly, grant us the ability to maintain that taqwa and to maintain the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.